Here this morning, it looks like winter's starting to come, and we saw the frost yesterday morning, but that's a good sign. The season has changed, and God's moving us on into something brighter and more beautiful. As I was standing here worshiping the Lord together with you, I just sense, not necessarily to say good morning to you, but to say shalom. And I'm not trying to be Jewish. I'm saying that because there's an implication in saying that. When you say shalom to another person, you're actually speaking peace over them. And so many of our people in our world today are in such troubled times, they need the peace of God. And when we declare peace, those words have power. So I'm not saying go around now being Jewish and shalom, shalom, but speak peace over people's lives, the people that you meet. Let that be a reality because you carry the peace of God. That's an inheritance that we have from the kingdom of God. Amen. Just before we break into preaching God's word, we live in a country where there's change. And I've got the title here, Watch and Pray, and I've just been involved, and Franco's led us, and we've been hearing what Kenneth Mashoe from the ACDP, and this is not political. This is just to be aware of what's happening in our circumstances in our nation. And I just want to make you aware of some aspects that we need to do something about. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, it says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And that has an implication to watch is that we need to keep guard, we need to keep vigilance in our situation. There's a waiting of the Lord, but there's also vigilance that we need to have in our nation, in our circumstances. You know, even when you heads of home and your workplaces, you've got to be aware of what's happening around you. Don't be stupid to think that things are just going to go hunky-dory all the time. We have to fight for things sometimes. You see, when we have wakelessness and get drowsy, there's a tendency not to do anything. We have an opportunity also that we need to be aware the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion for someone to devour, and we need to resist the devil. And we also see in the scripture in Revelation chapter 3, verse 2 to 3, is that the church in Sardis was told to wake up, it'll lose its position. So we have a responsibility to see what is happening in our times. So I want to just talk about this whole land expropriation without compensation. Our constitution that we have in this nation is good. Section 25 says that land may be expropriated for general application for the public purpose and for public or in public interest. That's if they want to move houses and put a road in, they're allowed to do it, and there will be appropriate compensation. So my perspective is that's still good. But what has happened in Parliament is that Julius Malema made a proposal, a motion in place that they must adopt land expropriation without compensation. And it was voted for 242 to 83 against. And the policy that it seems, and I'm not exactly sure, it seems that the ANC wants to appropriate this. Now, the EFF's policy is that all ownership and custodianship of land will go to the state. That's black and white. Everyone, we will all lose our ownership of all our land, black and white people, and it will belong to the state. And with that, we'll be given licenses to remain on our homes, but if they don't like what we are doing with our homes or with our businesses and that, they will take it away. It's what happened with the mineral rights in our nation already. Anything below the surface belongs to the government, and if you want to mine the minerals, you've got to get a license from the government. Now, for me, that is dangerous. Because what it does, it takes away ownership, it takes away collateral, it takes away, it'll destroy our economy, it'll implode our economy, it'll bring us to a place where this country can be a communist state or a socialist state. So I'm putting my perspective here. So we have to watch and have a knowledge and understanding. We need to be empowered about this thing. So we can't just be in a place we're going to pray, and we must pray, and we are going to pray. We need to intercede, and we need to stand in the day of evil for what is actually happening. But what I'm saying is that we need to get to a place where we can come against this. Now, with this motion that was put through on the 28th of February, it was adopted by Parliament, a constitutional review committee was set up to report back to Parliament by the 30th of August 2018. But we have an opportunity to send comment to that parliamentary committee by 12 p.m. on the 31st of May 2018. That's for individuals, not as churches, not as businesses. Individuals can make a comment to that. So this is something that I'm not telling you to do, But I'm saying we have a constitutional right as a person that lives in South Africa. If you believe this is right, then that's fine. If you believe it's wrong, I'm asking you to stand up and make a comment to that committee, because it's not something like a petition where they review, they receive it. They have to review this process and they have to see what people are actually saying. So I'm asking you, if your conscience is seeing, is this right or is it wrong, I'm asking you to comment. And there's this webpage called dearsouthafrica.co.za/section25, and it comes up and you can go in there and you can put your details in and you can put your email address and you can comment whether you agree with this or not. So I'm making you aware of this. I'm not telling you what to do. But I'm just saying is that I think if we don't respond, you know, good men, when they don't respond, evil prevails. And you know, we are going to pray, and we're going to pray now, but I'm asking you, please, we need to respond, and with your conscience, need to do that. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into his kingdom of his Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There's a dominion of darkness that is out there, but we need to bring the kingdom of light of the Son into the situation. So I want us to bow our heads and to pray, and I'm going to pray for this situation and ask God to intervene, but I'm asking us, we need to do something physically and we need to do something spiritually in this matter to see God come through. So I'm going to ask you something. Can we stand and pray? Because I want us to be in agreement. If you're in agreement, will you stand with me in prayer in your heart? And let's just trust our Father as we commit this matter to him. Father, we humble ourselves before you. We don't come to take a political position, but we come to bring, Lord, for the prosperity of this nation, that, Lord, that the gospel can go out. Because, Lord, we need to see your hand of grace. And you've declared that this nation will be prospered and be a light to the world. And Lord, as we intercede for our nation, and especially in this area where we see this change that wants to be put forward, it seemingly doesn't seem right in our hearts, Lord. And we want to establish your righteousness over this nation. So Lord, will you intervene? Will you come and deliver us from the dominion of darkness that's trying to prevail over our nation and over the situation of our constitution? Lord, will you stand against that, and will you change hearts, and will you bring confusion to the plans of the enemy that's trying to destroy this nation? That, Lord, that we can live quiet and peaceful lives in this nation, and we can continue to preach the gospel to those who are willing to hear your truth and be set free and come into the kingdom of light. So into your great hands and almighty hands we place this matter and ask, Lord, will you undertake and will you powerfully reveal your greatness and your mercy and your grace upon this nation? Father, I do pray for our government, and I ask, Lord, will you give her wisdom? Will you give understanding, Lord, to take this nation forward, that they will be nation builders, and this nation will be that nation that you've declared it to be. And Lord, no weapon formed against this nation shall prosper, and that we would see the grace of God manifest upon this people of this nation at this time in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Okay, just I was asked to put the web page up again. If you want to maybe just write that. We are going to send an email if you're keen to do that, that you can go to. We'll also send out a WhatsApp to those who are on WhatsApp, and then we can get through and then you can respond to that. Amen. Is that good? Amen. Thank you, youth, for being with us. Hallelujah. I'll leave that for a short while. Father, we just thank you as we approach your word, the life-giving word. Lord, will you reveal truth to us today? Will you bring us to a place of freedom? Will you take us and transform our thinking that, Lord, we can live in this liberty and this freedom that you've given us, this provision that you've given us of the kingdom of God, the Christ that has been given to us, and that we might live in that and live in the fullness of that now, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message today is That Christ Might Dwell in Your Hearts Through Faith. And I think this is such an important aspect, because I think many of us know what it means to be born again, to confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But then what? Now we're born again, we belong to Christ, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, if God was meaning for us to be translated or be taken immediately to heaven, he would. He would put us in heaven immediately, but he hasn't asked us to go there. He wants us to live life on earth, and he wants us to work out that. But many people today, I find when I look at the people in the life of the church and even at myself at some times, we find ourselves that we've accepted Christ. We've got our insurance policy. We are going to heaven. Now I can get on with my life. And that's not what God intended. God didn't intend that we carry on the way we were before and just add God to our lives. He wants us to give up our lives that he can become our lives. Now, I think this is where a lot of teaching that comes into the church, where we get it a bit wrong, where there isn't a true understanding of what needs to transpire when we are born again and this life that we continue to live. A lot of people get into the place, they get into church mode. They get into what I call maybe religious mode, and they get into seemingly doing the right things. And they seemingly do the church things. They come to church, and their hearts are pacified. They feel they're in the right place, and they get in.